thankful for all of you coming out, despite the furnace not working and things, and just trust that'll, this too will pass, as they often say. So Joshua chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, When ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your many blessings to us, your provision of salvation, the fellowship that we can have with you and with one another around your word. We thank you for a new year, Lord, with new opportunities, Lord, and we trust that there is much that you have in store for us. Just we pray, Lord, that you would help us to recognize the plan you have for us, and that we would go on the path that you would have us to. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And this passage, we see that the children of Israel are at a significant juncture in their history. This was a turning point in many ways, a new beginning. As a people, they had been delivered from bondage. God had been with them throughout their time in the wilderness. Their shoes never wore out. They had manna and quail and water always provided to them. But we recognize that there was a generation that was going to that had missed out on experiencing the blessings of God because of their unbelief. And that's why they had to wander around for 40 years before they could enter into the promised land. It had been probably years of frustration, of futility in many ways, even though they recognized it was of their own making. But it was just kind of this thought where there was almost an aimlessness where they weren't. They knew where they needed, they wanted to go, but they knew they couldn't get there, and they had to wait for 40 years. And there was probably no real sense of accomplishment. I could probably imagine if they're wandering, if they found that they came back to places that they'd been before, it probably would have been a little frustrating. But we see that things were about to change, that there would be a realization of the promises of the Lord, of what they had dreamed about. They would now be going forward with purpose, with direction, that they're going to be possessing the promised land and all of its blessings that lay ahead. And so Joshua is their leader, and as led of God, he is directing them to this promised land, this place of blessing, this place of fruitfulness, this land that flowed with milk and honey. And we see in this passage, it speaks of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord that was carried by the priests, that it was going to lead the way. And we recognize that the Ark in the Scriptures represented the presence of God. That God was with them, that when they established the tabernacle was essentially a dwelling place for the present for the Ark, which represented the presence of God. And so it was a thought that even though they had the whole camp of the Israelites, that in the center of them was God was with them. God's presence was among them. And we see now that the Ark, representing the presence of God, is going before them. And it was directed that they were to follow after it, but they were to leave themselves a distance so that everyone could see where it was going, and that way they could follow. That it was the thought if they were all right close to it, right tight to it, that there'd be some in the back that wouldn't be able to see, but if they're a distance from it, then all could see clearly which way they were to go. And so they were going to follow it wherever it led. And it says that ye have not passed this way heretofore. They didn't know the way. And so they needed to follow the ark, follow where God was leading them. Then we see also what Joshua says in verse 5, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. That it was the thought that they needed to prepare themselves. The idea of sanctify is to set apart, to consecrate. The idea that anything that they were doing, whether perhaps if they had any idols, that they were to put them away from them, anything like that, so that they could go forward, so that God could bless them, God could be with them. And it was the thought that if, as they did this, that tomorrow the Lord would do wonders among them. And we recognize from the story the wonders that God did the next day and in the days to follow, of how the priests waded into the Jordan River and the Lord separated it so that they were able to cross over the bottom of the Jordan River on dry ground. And then of course we see later on of the victories God gave at Jericho and other places where the Lord did wonders among them. And as we think of this passage and we recognize the year, the time of year that we are in, we recognize with the new year that is so often the time for resolutions, times where, well, I'm going to do this or stop doing this. And often we don't usually get to the end of January before we fail to measure up to what our resolutions were. That along with those resolutions needs to, I think, be a resoluteness as well of decisions that we're going to make. But we recognize that this time is definitely a time for reevaluation. And we recognize that reevaluation is a necessary part of any business. Person at the year's end usually looks back and sees, well, what did I do that worked really good? What did I do that didn't work good at all? How do I improve for next year? What lessons can I learn? Is there a better way? Is there a simpler way? And we recognize that. That's important. That if we just did it the same way that we always did, that sure, it might work, but we might find out that there's a way that we could have done was better, that it would have been so much better if we would have tried that. And so it is, reevaluation is an important thing, but we recognize that it's just not a necessary thing in terms of a financial aspect, but in terms of our own lives, personally and spiritually, that we want to examine these areas of our life. And we recognize as well, in all of our thinking, in all of our reevaluation, that God needs to be part of our equation. That we need to include Him in our thinking. That we want to make sure that He's given the priority. He's given the opportunity to direct us in what we are to do as we seek to step forward for a new year. We're reminded of the man who had his barns were full, and he wondered what he should do. And he said, well, I'll just tear them down and build bigger ones, and then I'll eat, drink, and be merry. And we find that that night his soul was required of him, and it was because he was not rich toward God. That he didn't even have, God wasn't any part of the equation in his thinking at all. He was just going to do his thing, and he was missing out. And so it is something that God calls us in His Word in different places. There are times we need to reevaluate. We see in Haggai that he spoke to them of considering their ways. And this was at a time when they had the wrong priorities and things. He says, ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And that's something that we recognize. When things are not going right, it's good to ask why. And there is, it is wise to reevaluate. It's not something that we have to wait till year's end to do it. Sometimes it's wise to do it kind of different times of the year. And especially in terms of our personal life, our spiritual life, we realize that we need to make those evaluations. And so questions that we want to ask ourselves, we say, okay, well, am I the person that I should be? Am I the person that I need to be for those around me? Am I where I ought to be or where I want to be in my life? And if we find, well, no, I don't think I am, well, okay, well, where do I go from here? What do I want to achieve? What are my goals? And it is the thought that we do want to set goals in our life. Someone has said, if we aim at nothing, we will hit it every time. And so we want to have a plan for reaching those goals. But most importantly, spiritually, we want to ask ourselves, is my relationship with God where it should be? What needs to change? As a believer, that it's something spiritually that we can make different decisions and kind of wonder what we're to do in terms of our finances and other things. And sometimes we don't know where it'll all lead, but we know spiritually that where our direction is made very clear in the Scriptures. That we recognize what God wants for our life, the direction He wants us to head is to Christ's likeness. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, it says, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." So if we're to set goals, we recognize spiritually that is our goal, is to be like Christ in every aspect of our lives. And we recognize that that needs to come more to the forefront in our reevaluation, our reexamination of our lives. Because we find that no matter what may happen in the coming year, if we're closer to the Lord, if we're more like Christ, we'll be more enabled to handle whatever comes. We'll have wisdom that when difficult times comes, that we can maneuver our way through them, and the Lord can help us in that. And we recognize, of course, in our lives that as we seek to become more like Christ, that it is the Lord's work, that He is the one that is making us into the image of His Son, that it isn't something that we do it all by our own strength. But we do recognize that we need to be sensitive to His leading, that He wants to conform us to Christ's image. That's His game plan, that He's going to perform that till the day of Jesus Christ. And we want to be on the same page as Him, that He's going to conform us one way or the other, and whether we have it done to us the easy way or the hard way is up to us. That we want to be on board with what He is directing us. He knows us. He knows where we are in our lives. He knows our strengths. He knows our weaknesses, and we want to be sensitive to Him and have Him reveal those things to us, so that then when different troubles come, that we can recognize His hand, we can see, well, He's doing this, He's putting me through this to help me through in this area, to teach me something that I didn't know before. And we see Psalm 139, verse 1, it says, "O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways." That we know that He knows us so intimately, so closely. And we want to have that knowledge. That we were talking about it this morning in Sunday school, that He's wanting to use His Word to reveal to us the thoughts and intents of our hearts, show us where we fall short, so that we can confess and forsake those things and become in closer fellowship to Him. That we want to have that knowledge so that we know how to step forward in our lives with Him. That we want Him to direct us in that way. And we see the prayer of the psalmist at the end of Psalm 139. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." And that's what we want, is for Him to lead us in the right way. If there's anything that we're doing wrong, that He can show it to us so that we can confess and forsake it, and that we can go in the right path. But as we think of this event in Joshua chapter 3, and what it's spoken of here, that there's definite principles that we can apply as we think of the coming year. We see what it said at the end of verse 4. It says, "For ye have not passed this way heretofore." That the children of Israel had never gone into the promised land. That there is things that they are going to experience that they had never seen. There is places that they are going to go that there was none of them that had been there before. And at those times there wasn't really, from what we understand, anything in terms of maps. There wasn't different tourist guides or anything like that. I know my brothers, they've done some traveling to different places, and they have these Lonely Planet guides that are kind of handy, that they can find a lot of things. But there wasn't anything like that, that they didn't know where they were going, and so they needed to follow the direction of what God was leading them. That the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, representative of the presence of God, they needed to be aware of it, where it was going, because they hadn't been that way before. And we want to recognize that in this year to come, that God wants to lead each of us individually and all of us collectively as a church to a place that we've never been before. We see in different passages in the Scripture, Jeremiah 33 verse 3, it says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." That He wants to take us beyond our comfort zone, beyond what we're used to, into something much more glorious than we could ever imagine. Isaiah chapter 43 verse 18, it says, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing, now it shall spring forth, even, or shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." That the Lord wants to take us a place where we've never been, a place where He can do His work, where He can show us great and mighty things which we've never seen before. And it will be out of our comfort zone, but we recognize that God knows what is best. And there are great things in store if we follow His leading. That we recognize that with the children of Israel, that the Lord promised there was a land flowing with milk and honey, but the generation before said, "Well, no, there's giants in the land. We're scared. We don't think that we can go in." And so they missed out on it. But then the next generation got to experience and realize how much the generation before had missed. And so we don't want to miss out on what the Lord wants for us. That it might frighten us in some ways, but it is for our best. That we're to lean on Him, that we're to acknowledge Him in all our ways so that He can direct our paths. And we see that just as with the Israelites, as they were going into the promised land, this place of blessing and fruitfulness, if we're going to enter into a similar place of blessing and fruitfulness in this year to come, two things are necessary. And we see, first of all, that we need to be in a position where we are aware of the presence of God and where He is leading. And that's what we need to have a time of introspection, of searching God's Word, of meditation, of prayer, so that we know that God is with us and we know where He is leading. And I think our tendency is we want to kind of find where God is and then just kind of stay there and just take up residence and never leave that spot ever again. But we see from the Scriptures that God doesn't want us to just come to a place and stop. He's leading us always further, always in our walk with the Lord, that it isn't something that He says, "Okay, well, you're mature enough, you don't have to grow anymore." He always wants us to go further. Even with Job, although he was a perfect man and an upright God put him through great trials because there was something else he wanted to teach him. And we think of that as well, that with the children of Israel in this generation, that they came in and they had many victories. They possessed great portions of the land. But they were happy with that. They became complacent. But the Lord says, as you get further on in Joshua, he said that there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. That they had seen some victories, but they thought that was sufficient. But the Lord was trying to teach them, keep going, ever upward. There's more to be realized. And that's the thought, that God sets His sights high, that He has something for us that's glorious. He wants to give us blessing, fruitfulness. He wants us to bring us to a point of Christ-likeness. He wants to give us life that is abundant. And it's kind of like this. It's, you could examine it, or think of it, and maybe some of you as parents have experienced something like it. You have a father that's leading their child on an excursion, that the father's been that way before. He knows that there's a lot of different things along the way that'll be interesting for the child to look at, but there's this final place that he's heading, that once the child gets there, that the child will just realize how much, how great it is, and will enjoy it and have so much blessing out of it. But as the parent is leading the child on this excursion, that the child quickly gets weary, that they find some place that's interesting and say, well, this is good enough, let's just stay here. But the dad's saying, no, we got to keep going further, there's more to see yet. And then sometimes there may be some difficult things to get through, and the child says, oh, it's too hard, I just want to stop, I want to go home. But the dad says, no, we got to keep going. You'll pass through this, and you'll see that it's worth it in the end. And the tendency of a child would be, well, I've gone far enough. But as the father continues to have the child keep going, and they get to the final destination, what the father wanted to show them, then the child realizes, boy, I'm so glad that I kept going. I'm so glad that I trusted my father, that it was worth it. And that's the way that it is with our Heavenly Father, with us, that He wants to show us something wonderful, something we've never seen before, something that we are going to enjoy more than we can imagine. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. He wants us, and sometimes we can go through some good things and we say, well, that's great, I just want to kind of stay here. But the Lord says, no, got to keep going. There's more to see yet. There's more I want you to experience. Sometimes there can be some difficult trials to go through, but they're just part of the path to the final destination that's going to be glorious if we do not become weary in well-doing. And so we need to be in a position where we can recognize the presence of God. We can recognize His leading, that we have a clear vision. And it's quite easy as believers to live our lives and be totally oblivious to where God is leading us. And of course, when we do that, we can get ourselves in a real mess, that we're not following the Lord, we're not in touch with Him, and we go in our own direction, and we get in real problems, and we say, well, God, why did you let me fall into this? And all the while He can say, well, I was pointing you this way the whole time, and you weren't paying attention, and that's why you're here. I'm going to help you get out of this, but come this way the next time. And that's what we want to realize, that we can go our own way, but it's not the best way. God's ways are higher, that He has something for us that's better than what we can expect. It's out of our comfort zone. It's going to be a little frightening in some ways. It's going to challenge our faith, but if we're willing to follow, it's going to be worth it in the end. We need to submit to His guidance, submit to His leading, because He has something great for us if only we continue on in following Him. So we need that, to be in a position where we can see His presence and His leading, so that we might follow Him. And then secondly, we see from this passage, it says, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." That the idea of sanctifying ourselves is to be set apart, to be consecrated to the Lord's work. That there was different vessels that were made for the tabernacle and for the temple, and they were sanctified, they were consecrated, so that they were for a purpose of the service and worship of the Lord. And they were never to be used for anything else after that. And that's the same idea with us, that we are vessels in which the Holy Spirit resides. We have been set apart for a divine purpose, and so we need to sanctify ourselves, set ourselves apart from the world, so that He can use us, so that there wouldn't be anything within us that would prevent Him from using us. And we see in 2 Timothy chapter 2, says verse 21 of 2 Timothy 2, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." That's what we want to do, that God wants to do something with our lives beyond what we can imagine. And we want to be prepared. It speaks of Ezra that he had prepared his heart to seek the Lord, seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. That Daniel as well, that he had purposed in his heart that he would not defile his body with the king's meat. That there's times like that that we need to prepare ourselves, set ourselves apart, make ourselves ready, so that whatever the Lord would have for us to happen, that we are in a position where He can bless us, a position where He can use us. So in doing these things, in the year to come, there's practical questions that we want to ask ourselves. First of all, are there things in our life or in our lives as believers that should not be there? Are there things that we recognize that as a Christian, should this really be a part of my life, or am I just kind of keeping it there just because it's comfortable? Where God is saying, "No, I want you to give that up for me. I want you to abandon that, forsake it." Because it's something that we have that even though we might not think it's a big thing, it may be hampering God's blessing. It might be getting in the way of clearly seeing God's leading in our life. That it's something that has to be purged out as we seek to become meat for the Master's use. Perhaps it is something that is harming our relationship with others. Perhaps it is something that could be harming our testimony with others, that we're not having as effective witness as we could because this thing is in our life and we haven't dealt with it. We think, as it speaks in Mark chapter 4 and verse 19, of the word that was sown among the thorns, that there was the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choked the words, that became unfruitful. And we don't want these other things, these weeds, to get in the way that's going to prevent our fruitfulness for the Lord. And we see as we're examining things, if this is something in my life that should not be there, principles are given in 1 Corinthians chapters 6 and 10 that give us guidance as we seek the Lord's discernment in these areas of our lives. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12, it says, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." And 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 23 is quite similar in its wording. It says, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not." And so it's something that we can use these three things as a test in the things that we do. You say, well, is it expedient? The idea of expedient is, does it help us along our way? If a parcel is expedited, that means it is further along its way. It's going to get there faster. And we recognize our destination as believers is Christ's likeness. Is what I'm doing, is that helping me get closer to Christ, or is it getting in the way? Or is it impeding my progress in my walk with the Lord? And if it is, then it's something that needs to be laid aside. We see, secondly, it says, I will not be brought under the power of any. Is this something that has a power in my life that it shouldn't have? Something that's controlling me rather than me controlling it? Is it something that I need to deal with? And then thirdly, we see it says, all things edify not. Is this something that is building me up, that's building up other believers? Or is it tearing me down? Is it tearing others down? If it is, and this is something that has to go for the sake of my relationship with the Lord, sake of my testimony and relationship with others, and just the whole thought of being in a position where I can be used of God, I can be directed by God, and that He can bless me. If these things are getting in the way, then they must be taken out. And secondly, we ask ourselves as believers, is there things in our lives as believers that should be there that aren't? That we look at, we understand that we are to be Christ-like. We see some of the perspective of who Christ is, how He treated other people, the way He acted. And it should naturally get us to see, well, that's how Christ responded. If I was in that position, I definitely wouldn't have responded in that way. And I want that to be a part of my life. It's something as well, you think, is with the disciples, that they were with Jesus. They saw Him work. They saw Him pray. And one time after He prayed, He said, Lord, teach us to pray. As John also taught his disciples, that they saw what He had and they wanted it. And that's something that we want to recognize too. If there's things, different aspects of character, different aspects of our Christian growth, of our what we would call the fruit of the Spirit, that we want these things to be manifest in our life. That we say, well, this isn't there like I want it to be. That it's something that's where the Lord is giving us a direction. I'm want to take you a place where you haven't been before. I want to help you to have victory over this area that you've always struggled with. That this is something I can give you. And so it is that thought that we learn of the Lord Jesus. We sit at His feet. We recognize that He's been tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, that we want to respond to temptation in the same way that He did. And so, may the Lord help us in both of these, that things that should not be there, that we could, by the power of God in our life, by the grace of God, we could have victory over them and remove them. But then things that should be there that aren't, that we know that no matter how much we can try to work it up, it just doesn't come out. But instead, that God gives us the grace so that we can manifest these things as we should. Then we see that we are growing and the Lord's blessing us. And thirdly, we want to ask, are my priorities in the right order? And sometimes we have a lot of things going on in our life. We're always very busy. And we want to make sure that we have our priorities correct. Because that can, if we have our priorities wrong, we can focus on what is not essential and miss out on what's important. We recognize that our time with God needs to be the main focus of our life. That we need it just daily, our time, whether it be in the morning or in the evening, of prayer, of fellowship with the Lord, of seeking His direction, being empowered for the day. That we need that so much. It's so often the time that gets swept away so quickly or gets bumped out of our plans. But we need to focus on Him. We recognize as well the time that we have with our family is critically important. We think of our spouses that they need time, and then our children. I know sometimes I've found that that I'll spend a bunch of time with the children, and then I'll realize, well, I've been neglecting my wife. I know one time I took Alicia on a big excursion for the day, and Malia kind of came back. When I came back, she was like, boy, I kind of like to go on one of those too, sort of thing. And so I realized I didn't have the right order. But that's the thing, that we want to make sure that what is important is the most important thing in our lives, that we get our priorities in the right order. And so often we find with our different priorities that there's always a conflict. But I think what we'll find, and as the Lord helps us, that when we get our priorities in the right order, that conflict is resolved. That if we spend time with God, it makes it so that the rest of our day goes much better, that our time with others is more profitable, and we accomplish more than we thought was possible. And we see in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." That if we put Him first, if we seek to follow Him in our lives, then the rest we will find will fall into place. And so may the Lord help us in that with our priorities. Then finally, we want to examine, where is God leading me individually and us as a church? What goals does He want us each to achieve? And how do we reach these goals? That we can have different things that we might want to do, things that we would hope to do, but until we actually make a plan to reach those goals, it's essentially just a dream, something that we think about, but there's no real path to achieving those things. And so when we do have a goal, we realize this is something I need to do, then we're going to make a plan to achieve those goals. We're going to do what's necessary, even if it's making sacrifices in order to reach those goals. It's the thought we have financially, that we have many different financial advisors that can help us in making decisions, that we can tell them, this is what I want to reach in, say, 5 or 10 years, or this is the position I want to be in for retirement. And so then they can look at things and crunch the numbers and then give you a financial plan, so that then at that point that you'll have it, you'll get there the way that you want to. And that's something that we see the value of in terms of our finances, but we need to recognize that thought in terms of our spiritual life, that where we want to be, what are our goals, what do we want to accomplish, and that the Lord gives us that wisdom, that guidance, that we would seek out spiritual advisors that would help us and show us the way, show us, okay, this is where I want to be in my life. I want to be a better spouse, a better parent. I want to be a better witness. That a person say, well, these are things that you can do. And of course, with all of this, that we recognize each of us personally has to be led by God, that every step of the way that He needs to guide us. And as we have a relationship with Him, that He can show us the way, whether through others or through books or through other things, that He can help us so that we can know that we will reach the goals that He has laid out for us. And so we recognize that God wants to lead us to the promised land, a place of blessing, a place of fruitfulness, a place where we've never been before. And so we need Him to guide us in that. But it's a place that we want to be, a place where we're going to experience glorious things that we've never experienced before. And so we want to be in a position where we can recognize His leading, and we want to have our hearts prepared so that He can work in and through us. And so may the Lord help us in this new year, each of us, that we can plot this new course, that as He gives us a vision of where He wants us to go in the year to come, and that we might attain that, and that we might experience what He wants to share with us this coming year. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You once again for your word. We thank you for the great things that you have in store for us, Lord, far beyond our comprehension. Just pray you would help us to realize your way is the best way, that we would submit ourselves to your guidance, and that we would attain unto all that you would have for us in this year to come. Lord, just pray your blessing would be upon each of us individually. You would search our hearts, just direct us, and that we would know your will and that we would follow it, Lord, throughout the year to come. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's stand. We'll turn to one more hymn, number 397. I have decided to follow Jesus, number 397.